Welcome to the 38th episode of the Game 4 podcast. In this episode, still recording from home and sponsored by Gaddis Gaming, we'll be talking about how to support your friendly local game store during this pandemic. I'm Adam.
I'm Matt.
And we're part of Game 4. This is the Game 4 podcast for trying to build community and teach people about tabletop gaming, how to get into different types of tabletop gaming, how to think about staying motivated with their tabletop gaming, and eventually, once we can all start playing together again, how to build community in your local area with other tabletop gamers.
Absolutely.
Then let's hope. someday soon. I know that as we're recording this, I think in a couple of days, I think the UK is going back into lockdown, and I think also maybe Germany and maybe France. So we'll see how it goes. But until then, we're going to try to keep positive and keep moving along and keep gaming. Speaking of that, like, what have you been doing recently in your gaming and hobbying, Matt?
Sure. So last week, I was able to do a one-shot. I think I talked about it a little bit, that I was going to be doing for kind of like a Halloween-themed D&D, and I was actually going to get to play. So we got to play that. I believe we started at, I think, like 8 o'clock at night, and we played to about 2:30 in the morning. I think kind of at the end, we were kind of like all just like, okay, let's wrap up some stuff. It was definitely a longer one shot than what we were thinking it would be. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We were kind of playing some fun characters. That's kind of one of the advantages of doing something like that is that you're not tied to this character concept. You can kind of try out some stuff. I was kind of a creepy necromancer that just enjoyed bringing things back to dead. So I was okay if one of my party members died because, hey, you know, they don't actually leave me.
Exactly. It's not a, it's not a downside. It's an opportunity. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. I get to shop local there.
Yeah, exactly.
Going with our theme for the podcast today. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was fun. It was a fun little, creepy thing. And, I really enjoyed, friend Josh, that was the first time I got the game with him. Met him through actually through Game 4. So one of our, I think he was looking for some local games, ended up being on our Discord server, and I think quite a few months of trying to get things to work out where I could game. So yeah, it was fun. There was five of us. So
yeah. I mean, sometimes it doesn't always like immediately happen. You know what I mean? It's not like a video game where you click the multiplayer button. Sometimes it takes a little while, especially with role playing, to get you know, everybody on the same date and the same page and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, we're already talking about maybe making it a every other month thing, kind of a one shot, and someone will run it. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it's fun to kind of have a more casual one that, especially if I don't have to DM. I like DMing, but it was fun just kind of being in the player and you know, trying to like solve the puzzles and be on that side of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would think just kind of taking the break from time to time is also nice too.
And even though I did have the opportunity, I did not burn the place down, which is how I did the last one shot I did. Ended up accidentally and then kind of on purpose burning down the mansion that I was exploring. Which caused all the bad guys to leave, and then I was able to take care of them. Could have done that at this haunted house as well, but decided to kind of play it a little more straight up.
Well, you know, sometimes the issues kind of write the answer for you. So, yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, yeah, exactly. It happens. Absolutely. What other kind of stuff have you been working on?
I just got done printing once every month or quarter. A lot of like the 3D sculpting manufacturer selling places will sell, you know, send you like samples and stuff like that. Typically, they're just like, oh, here's a roof modification 32, where it's, this board is slightly is turned to the left instead of the right. So you're like, okay, whatever. It doesn't. But Black Scroll Games for Halloween sent a really cool sculpt that has like a beholder pumpkin. Jack-o'-lantern that's kind of coming out of the pumpkin patch with like it's and they did it clear filament so that or not clear filament but the filament was thin enough at the so that the eye, you could put an LED behind the eye that lit it up and then also still backlit it from underneath. So even without it being painted, it's coming out like really cool. So I'm looking forward to painting that.
Yeah, I saw a picture, I think, on your Twitter or something.
Yeah,
it was cool looking. Instagram. It was cool looking.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah, I was shocked that like how well. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah, I like stopped everything I was doing and printed it up.
And you did that resin or filament?
I did it resin, yep. Mm-hmm. And I did it, there was like one piece. I didn't really like how it came out, so I tweaked a couple of things and reprinted that one piece. But, I mean, for the most part, it came out perfect from the get-go. So, yeah, nice. I'm looking forward to kind of finishing that up.
That's cool.
And then my ongoing D&D campaign, they just wrapped up the third level of the Dungeon of the Mad Mage. They're about to head down to a new level, which will be fun.
Be the fourth level?
It will be the fourth level.
See, I'm good at this stuff.
But it's fun because like I know all the stuff that's coming and they're starting to like figure out some of the mechanics that are working out and like, oh, mm-hmm. I think this stuff is working. So they're starting to find some of the stuff. So, you know, I think there was kind of a little lull where I'm like, ooh, I hope this will keep everybody's interest, but I'm hoping that now that they just leveled up recently too, so they've got a lot of new spells and fun, you know, toys. So I'm hoping that, you know, we're all excited to play. I think we're playing like a week or two from now. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, let's see. I have been on Twitch. I've been streaming still on Monday nights and Friday mornings, and I finished up Monday night. I finished up my second batch of Night Haunts for Warcry. So I had done on Twitch. I had done a group of six chain rasps.
Okay,
and they were done already, and then I had been working on a group of four Grimghast Reapers. And so they are basically done. I have to just finish painting up their bases, but it's pretty simple stuff on their bases, so I don't bother to do that on Twitch because it's sort of boring to watch. So I'm going to do that. Go ahead.
Is that complete then for that like warband or whatever it's called?
No, it's not. And that's the thing. I've got a decision, and I started realizing as I was streaming on Monday night, but my decision is do I continue and do all I have left to do for this entire warband it's actually enough models that I can make four different warbands, but there's a lot of overlap. It gives me options is what I did. So I like basically wrote up four different lists, saw where the overlap was and then said, okay, these are all of the models that make that entire Venn diagram.
Oh, that's a good way.
And
to
that's
do
what,
it.
That's what I've been working on. So, I still have two Banshees and then three separate kind of singles. There's a Spirit Torment, a Lord Executioner, and a Knight of Shrouds. And so I got to decide now, do I want to on Friday continue to work on those guys? Or I also am kicking around the idea of switching to working on Tyranids for Warhammer 40,000 Kill Team. Because I've got them built, painted, their bases are textured, everything's ready to go. I've been wanting to work on them for a while. And so I'm just trying to decide whether I want to say, well, I'll finish the rest of the Night Haunts myself, not on stream. The thing is that when I'm painting stuff on stream, I don't want to paint it off stream. You know, I don't want to like be working on some models. And then as the week goes by, I do a bunch more work. And then when you show up again on Friday, I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, I did all this extra stuff, you know? Sure. So when there's times when I want to paint, like on the weekend or on a Tuesday or whatever, I want to have another project going on so that I can paint on that. You know what I mean? Not on stream. So I've got to make a decision by Friday whether I want to finish up the rest of those guys on stream or if I want to switch gears over to the Tyranids. I mean, the Night Haunts made sense with October because it was, it's spooky and Halloween and stuff like that. And they're like ghosts. But I'm trying to figure that out and just determine hopefully by Friday which way I'm going to go with that. I've been doing that. And then I actually purchased a new board game, sort of. I did purchase it. I'm not saying sort of I purchased it, but it's sort of a board game. It's on a board.
Okay.
I was watching the Board Game Geek Twitch channel, actually, and they were playing a game. It was Nikki and Lincoln, and they were playing a game called a game of cat and mouth. And it's I think from the same people, you know, the guy who does the comic, the oatmeal.
Yep, Exploding Kittens, all that stuff.
He did Exploding Kittens and all that kind of stuff. Well, this is from the same group. And it is a board game, sort of. It's not, well, it's hard to explain. Basically, the box unfolds into almost like a small little tiny ping pong table sort of thing. But instead of a net in the middle, there is this thing you put in the middle that is a cat's face, cartoon cat. And then he has a mouth, and you're trying to shoot the balls through the mouth to the other side. And each of you has four balls. So you're trying to get all eight balls to go on that other side, because then you'll get a point, or they're trying to get them to go on your... And then the teeth, there's little teeth that go in the mouth, which are just white balls, and they just sort of rest on this thing. And if, so if you can knock all three of those onto your opponent's side, you'll get a point for that as well. Plus there's a nose, which is just a single black one, but it's in a really small hole. Like, you have to hit it just perfectly dead on to knock it over. And and the way you flick these balls back and forth at each other is you have this kind of cat paw that's made out of plastic, and it has a strong magnet in the bottom. And when you set it down on the board in the right spot, you can put a ball in it and rock it backwards. And when you let it go, it flings forward and then it flicks this this ball out. And so when you put the box all together and stuff like that, it has walls on the sides, so you're less likely to shoot the balls all over the house and things like that. But you're still going to probably do it a little bit. But yeah, so I watched them playing it on stream, and I was like, well, that seems pretty fun, and I think my wife and I might like that. So, and it reminds me, like, I've got another game that's also, you know, like that to some degree, that is called Click Clack Lumberjack.
Yep.
I don't know if you've seen that one. So yeah, that was
I've played that.
Yeah, and originally the original, when it was made in South Korea, it was called Tok Tok Woodsman, I believe. When they brought it to America, it was called Click Clack Lumberjack. And it's kind of like Jenga. You have this sort of plastic tree, and there's pieces of bark that are stuck to outsides of each of the slices of the wood, which is actually still all plastic as well. And you have this little axe, and you're trying to, like, knock it so that the bark falls off, but the wood doesn't, and all that stuff. So it's kind of like Jenga, except you're not pulling parts out. You're thwacking them with a tiny little axe to get parts to fall off without other parts falling off. And
yeah, no, I like dexterity games. They're fun. Yeah. I think one of the other ones I like is Terror Meeple City, I believe. It was originally called Rampage, but then the people who owned the rights to the video game Rampage did not like the use of their name.
Midway, maybe, I think, might have owned it.
Probably, yeah, or whoever owns it now. So they had to change it to Terror Meeple City. But yeah, you're basically a giant monster flicking some meeple across the city to knock other meeple out so that you can eat them.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it's, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. I got to have to clean off the dining room table a little bit. Things have a tendency to accumulate here, and we'll have to play some of that, I think.
Yeah, you've got to stream that or film it at least.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that'd be sort of fun.
I'm curious to see what Diesel and the other cats are going to think in the background.
Well, that's the other issue, though, too, isn't it? Is that if we do it up here in the living room, it's going to be potentially a little bit too much for the cats, and they're going to want to play as well, which, you know, probably not going to work out so hot, but. But yeah,
or
so
it'll be
that's
perfect.
Yeah, or potentially, you know, depends on the outcome, I guess. Yeah, but yeah, so that's basically about it. I mean, otherwise, I don't know. I ordered a new PC, which hopefully will be showing up in theory tomorrow, and so I'll be hopefully this weekend trying to get that set up and everything, and then maybe play some PC games down the road. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know.
I got to use something that I hadn't talked to you about.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
That just made me think that. So I did a print job for a friend. He wanted it's a Viking chess set. It's not really chess, but they call it Viking chess, and it's got a whole name and that I can't pronounce because even though my heritage comes from there, I can't pronounce anything with the Swedish, Norwegian, Scandinavian name. But anyway, that was all done with filament, and he was going to paint it up, and while the print came out pretty smooth, I wanted to try out the Badger 3D filler stuff that I think I talked about a long time ago that I ordered.
Yeah, the filler primer. You spray it through your airbrush, and it's designed for 3D filament prints.
Yeah, for the stylations, I think is what they call it. Stylation filler or whatever. So I tried that out on these pieces, and oh my gosh, I was actually super impressed. Like,
really?
I was kind of like, it's probably gonna do okay, but I don't know. It did phenomenal. To the point where, like, I thought they were like nicely done before. Afterwards, they looked completely smooth, and they felt smooth. I wouldn't use it for everything because I think it would take away some details and some stuff. But for something like this, where they were like just pieces that were like supposed to be nice, smooth faces. Mm-hmm. Perfect application for that. And I will probably be using that again in the future.
Nice. Yeah.
No,
I've heard about that stuff, and I've got some, I think. I'm 98% sure I own some of that stuff too. Yeah, but I've not used it yet. I haven't done a lot of printing on my filament printer in a long time. So I do have some pieces from Imperial Design or Imperial Terrain for the Star Wars Legion game. Terrain stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think Terrain would look really good with it.
I'll have to check that out. That makes sense.
Worth the hype. For what I used, sprayed on really nice, dried up really easy. I was pleasantly surprised at how well it worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you have those kind of striations and stuff like that, that you get generally in filament prints, it's harder sometimes to get them out to go away. But that's good to know about that spray.
Yeah, because I've done some sanding and stuff like that, but I've never been super happy with it. Yeah, no, this was really quick because he had me print 36 of the small pieces and one of the kings, and then I had a couple of misprints that I did as well, mm-hmm. so that they were good test pieces for him because he wanted to do the painting himself.
Yeah.
So it was like probably like 38, 40 pieces altogether, and took me less than 30 minutes to do all of them.
To spray them?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
And, dried a couple hours later. And
That's very cool. Like I said, I've got some buildings that I might try that on just to try to, like, there's some spots where, like, you can see the striations more than others, specifically mm-hmm. like in gentle curves and things like that, on the roofs of some of the buildings, you can kind of see it. And I know people will sometimes use Bondo and things like that and everything, but I just, if this is easier to do, I would rather do it that way.
Yeah. No, I would say definitely give it a try. This was kind of like the perfect try for this, because I could reprint some if they didn't work. But as soon as I got a couple done, I'm like, okay, yep, I'm going to keep doing all these.
Nice. Actually, this whole week is going to be nice and warm here in our neck of the woods. And I was thinking about doing some priming anyway of some terrain, like just the last hurrah before mm-hmm. winter comes. I should probably get motivated on that is what I should do. All right. Well, we've got a sponsor in this video from our friends over at Gaddis Gaming. On November 10th, 2020, which is coming up real soon, our friends at Gaddis Gaming will be launching their sixth Kickstarter campaign. And for the first time, that puts great forgotten heroes of the 20th century back in action on your tabletop. This will be a follow-up to their World War I alternate history success, Shattered Crown, which I know you've played and Jason's played and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Their new game, Empire's Fall, showcases the 761st Tank Battalion, also known as the Black Panthers, the first all-black U.S. tank unit inside an alternate World War II landscape. Although some history has shifted, gamers can bring the real heroism of these overlooked African-American soldiers to the field and take the motto of the 761st, come out fighting, to heart. If you join the more than 100 followers that are already watching this campaign on Kickstarter, Lee will randomly choose one of you to receive the top $300 Kickstarter tier, a fully pre-assembled and painted army for free. That's the contest. All backers of the Kickstarter not only receive an exceptional game loaded with custom dice and miniatures, but a collection of real history that has been forgotten for too long. They have been written out of history, and it's your job to bring them back in. Will you help them? Follow the link on GaddisGaming.com. That is GaddisGaming.com in our show notes. And thank you to Gaddis Gaming for sponsoring the Game 4 podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I've gotten some sneak peeks of what's coming and blown away, absolutely blown away with the artwork and level of finish and stuff that's coming to mm-hmm. this one. I've always liked his games. The his guard system is it's kind of unique that it's, you know, it's all D10s, which helps me from a math perspective figure out odds and stuff better than a D6.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So it's always just kind of clicked with me. And so it's going on with that, and there's like it's a whole new level. Plus, it's in World War II, so I can use some of my bolt action stuff with it. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for this.
Well, I've got the ball tank that he did in the last Kickstarter.
And
that you can use that in this too, right?
Or yes, is that absolutely.
Aim towards the army. Yeah.
Nope. That was from this. That was like the first one. I think there's possibly another similar one coming to this as like a stretch goal add on. There's some cool stuff coming with it. He's been working on this one for a couple of years now.
Nice.
Absolutely. Should be really excited. We're really excited to see that he's launching this. I checked this morning, it was like 140 followers. And he just had like, Kickstarter. I think he had only like maybe 20 last week when he first launched it. So, it seems like a lot of interest is getting into it already. So,
yeah, no, that's very cool. Absolutely. And we interviewed him not too long ago, and we're going to have him on again soon, right?
Yep. I believe, actually, even maybe the next episode, he'll be on talking about, I believe we're going to talk about making your first game or getting into game design. So
No, that'll be very cool.
Yeah.
So, in case you've not heard, there is this pandemic that's been going on for a while now. It's been in the news a couple of times. And all jokes aside, it's obviously been a big struggle for nearly everybody, you know, globally in some way or another. And especially like, cause we're focusing on predominantly tabletop gaming here. We wanted to talk this week about ways that you can help to support your local gaming store, your friendly local gaming store, your FLGS, this kind of unprecedented time where we've got, you know, like lockdowns happening again in a lot of places and just a lot of different things that are causing trouble as far as retail stores in general are concerned, but specifically because game stores are generally smaller, you know, they're not generally corporate run. They don't have, you know, huge war chests and things like that. They're a little bit closer to the vest as far as that's concerned. So many small businesses are struggling right now because of the global pandemic, but retail locations specifically are struggling because of, like I said, it's just like, you know, in some places you're not even supposed to be open, you know, if that's the case right now.
Right.
Other places, you know, like I know my local game shop has got a limit of like, I think it's maybe 10 people in the store and you got to wear a mask and stuff like that, you know, which is smart. It's all smart stuff, but it does definitely cause some trouble.
And we've talked about this on the podcast many times that, you know, a lot of the strength and robustness and basically the reason that the gaming industry is really striving is, I mean, a lot of that is built on the shoulders of your local shops.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They're the ones that are getting new people into it, getting people into new games, helping them understand games. I mean, you know, they're really the cornerstone for the industry. So, you know, while you could maybe save a few bucks by buying off online, you know, if you keep doing that, you might not have a game store or even a strong tabletop industry in a few years.
Right. And part of it is, I mean, it depends on the genre. Most people who play, let's say, role-playing games have a tendency to play either at somebody's home, you know, or something like that. Or obviously these days it's a lot of online and all this stuff's got a lot of online right now. But you know, in non-pandemic times, it's a lot of like, oh, we're all going to go over to Bob's house and we're going to play or whatever, that kind of thing. But there are also people, I've seen it, I can't tell you how many different times, people who get together and play at game stores. Like there are plenty of game stores that have special role-playing rooms and those rooms aren't getting rented out right now. You know what I mean? If you're playing miniatures, like tabletop wargaming miniatures, there's, especially in America, that's a lot of times where people go to play games. They don't play at their house. They don't have a club. Overseas, you've got like in the UK, like wargaming clubs are a bigger thing, which is basically like a store without any product. It's just basically we all pay dues and then we are able to rent some space someplace and then we get together on certain nights of the week. But to have more flexibility, be able to play at the store whenever they're open, that's very nice. Be able to actually just bring your army to the store and wait to see if someone else comes in. And very frequently stores will have events like, oh, you know, casual Star Wars Legion night on Wednesdays, you know, and then people show up and play or whatever.
Where you can find, you can find people that are gaming that are into the same games that you are, or you can find new games. I like Free RPG Day, you know, I DM'd and had people that hadn't, you know, played or ever before or hadn't played in years. And because the local stores were running that, they were able to get back into it. You know, that's so, it helps cycle everything through and give you more people to play with.
You know, and then with board gaming, a lot of people board game generally kind of at home with friends. But there are also plenty of times when you want to meet other people and play board games. There's certain, in many stores have board game nights, you know.
Right, and big game, board game demo libraries. I mean, we talk, we joke all the time about the 9,565 board games that have come out in the last 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can't buy them all, maybe know all of them about it, but you can certainly try out a lot of them at, you know, using the library, playing with friends, and then having the, you know, recommendations of what to buy. Consignment, cleaning up that the game space that we talked about.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of stores that are doing used gaming now. Like, you know, they're selling used games and things like that kind of on consignment and whatnot. You're seeing more and more of that recently because, frankly, it was from a guy that we know. It was a guy named Brian who owns a shop in Madison, Wisconsin called I'm Bored Games. And a number of years ago at a big kind of like retailer conference, he ran a seminar teaching people how he was doing his used games in the store and how, you know, he just everything step by step, completely laid it all out. And I was in that seminar, and I remember looking around, looking at retailers, and they were just like writing furiously, like taking notes and copiously. And I know a lot of places have leapt up into that because there's a lot of people who have board games that want to, like, you know, shift them and get some other board games. And this is a great way to do it. You know, it's very useful because you can basically bring it in there and then you get like credit and then you can use it at the store to buy.
Right.
Stuff.
And it's not like the one particular video game store that you turn in 30 games and you get a dollar, you know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Most of the time you're getting, you know, for especially games that are still fairly popular, almost what you paid for it back, you know, depending on the quality.
Potentially on the quality, certainly.
But getting quite a good trade in for
a decent return,
that you can, you know, fund other games. So it makes the whole buying a game, new game, seem less daunting, and, you know. Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of stores also that have, like you said before, libraries where you can check out and play new games to check them out to see if it's something you're interested in. I've also seen some stores that even do basically rental programs where you come in and you rent the game and you take it home and play it. And then if you bring it back in and decide, I like this, then you get basically your rental fee taken off of the purchase. So you're not like having to rent it and then buy it at full price. If it costs you $10 to rent it or $5 or whatever, when you come back in and say, I want to buy that, well, then you get $5 off the product, you know? And
that's awesome.
And so I mean, that kind of stuff is something that you can only get at game stores, you know, and
Target's not going to do this.
Exactly. And Amazon's not going to do this, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And also, obviously, if you're into Magic and games like that, you know, Friday Night Magic is a big deal. And that's also something that right now, Friday Night Magic is basically like Wizards has said, from what I've been told from a game store owner friend of mine, that Wizards is just like, don't do Friday Night Magic right now because they don't want people playing in stores and spreading, you know, the COVID. Mm-hmm. So, but when that is able to come back, like that's the best place to go to like learn how to play against a lot of different people, a lot of different decks, a lot of different play styles, you know?
Yeah. We talked to a number of game store owners who talk about how, you know, some of their Magic players will go, well, I'm just going to do a draft at home. And that seems to happen like one time, and then they're like, absolutely, I'd never ever want to have to run that again.
Right.
Like, please run it for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. We did an interview with a woman from a game store that's on another video on this channel. And she said, they're like, well, I can draft. We'll just do a draft at our house. And then later on you hear from that person. Yeah, we don't want to do that anymore. It's much easier to do it here at the store. Mm-hmm. So, that kind of stuff, I think, makes a lot of sense. And so, you know, game stores are kind of a hub and they should be. And we need to keep them around. So we're going to try to talk about some ways here, how we can do that.
And we're going to be kind of general because obviously we don't know what your local store is doing specifically.
Certainly, yeah.
Some are allowing you limited shopping with no events. Some are just curbside. Mm-hmm. Some are doing just online orders. Email them, call them, and ask them what they're doing. If you're not sure, they'll tell you. They'll tell you the best way to shop.
But the thing that they're not doing in most situations is they're not having in-store gaming. So because of that, they're not selling snacks. They're not getting event fees. They're not, you know, like if you go and hang out in a store all day, you're more likely to buy something. If you're there playing games, you're more likely to buy something, hopefully, than not.
Right.
And they don't have those people in the shop right now. And so that's part of the reason why we kind of need to look at this kind of stuff. So, I mean, obviously, and it seems simple to some degree, but number one is if you can buy local. I mean, you need to be mm-hmm. able to, even if it's something your store doesn't really carry necessarily, like they maybe not, are they're maybe not into, let's say that they don't carry miniature games too much. It's just not part of the purview of what your local game store is into. If you're right. still interested in having that store stay around and you need to order some paints or some paint sets or some new models or whatever, go and talk to them because they've got distribution at the very mm-hmm. least, that can probably order some of that stuff. Even a company like Games Workshop has its own distribution, but a lot of distributors also sell that same stuff. So if you may not have a Games Workshop contract as a store, but you probably work through somebody like Alliance or ACD or any one of those companies, right. and then you can get that same stuff through them. You know,
especially stuff that's like overseas or stuff that maybe mm-hmm. you know. Their websites, like I know that I'm not going to name drop anything, but there was a couple items that I looked at those manufacturers specifically to buy from their websites, and the shipping was a little high, and I wasn't sure about the product and stuff like that, and I didn't see it at my local game store, but I asked, and you know what? They were like, "Yeah, we'll order that in." Ordered it in. I didn't have to pay any shipping. I got it for for MSRP, which I would have gotten off the website. Plus, you know, like I got my local rewards, so it earned, you know, so for the store, like, you know, a lot of them have your local, you know, buy so much and you get so much off type thing.
Yeah.
So I got all those bonuses and all I had to do was ask, and I probably got it even faster than if I ordered it off the website.
You know, in some situations, it depends on the company. Like sometimes those companies, like if they're already in American distribution, or let's say it's an American company that's already in UK distribution, depending on where you are or whatever, you know, you have to take that into consideration. But yeah, I mean, if it's a company that you can get stuff from very frequently, it's through distribution. Not always. There are obviously some companies out there that have that only sell through their own website, small, very indie manufacturers. But then basically almost nobody can order from them except direct from the user. So that's not who we're talking about here.
Right.
But for other bigger things, you know, paint companies, board game companies, obviously like collectible card games, all that kind of stuff. Generally, it's things that you can get through distribution. So if that's the case, then your local store can probably get it. And again, they're getting it at a cheaper price and then they get the profit from it. And that helps to keep them afloat. And you still get it at the very least at MSRP. And again, like you said, that's a good point. I'd forgotten about that. You know, many game stores also have some sort of rewards program where they like track like how many purchases you make. Like our local store here, after $100 worth of stuff, you get a $15 basically coupon on your next order. So, you know, that's a good way to kind of do that kind of stuff. Another thing you can do if your game store is still open and if it is like allowing you to come in and do things and whatnot, rather than just running in once in a while to pick up a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I mean, it's not a bad idea. Like I try not to go to the grocery store too frequently. I try to go once every like 2 weeks and then you go and you stock up and then you don't go because it's just smarter than making too many trips as far as the virus is concerned. Same thing here with the game store. I would tell you that, you know, go in and say, okay, well, I know I'm going to be doing this. I know I'm going to be doing that and stock up. You know, that helps them too, because it's a little bit, if you can afford it, it's more money up front in their pocket. You know, I mean, obviously if you can't afford it, that's a different story, but if you can afford it, rather than just going in and buying, oh, I just need this one paint, go in and go, well, I know these three paints are getting low, so I'll buy now. You know, or I know I need these brushes, or I know I need probably some more dice, or, you know, all kinds of different things like that. Stuff that, you know, card sleeves are another big thing. If you know you're going to be buying some new sets of the next, you know, Magic or Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh, rather than like buying some of those cards and then going, oh, geez, I guess I should get more sleeves. Just get the sleeves now, because, you know, if they're in stock, it also is a situation, and we've seen this with some stores where they've been having a hard time getting the stock. So if they had it in stock and you buy it now, then you at least get it. And whereas if you don't do it now, you might not be able to get it as easily later, because it might even not even be an issue for them. It might just be distribution down the road, you know, down the supply chain that's causing troubles. We're starting to see that turn around. But
But at the same time, with the numbers going back up, it could go the other way. So
exactly.
Right now, I'm kind of doing the, if I have nothing to do for 3 weeks, I want to make sure I have stuff to keep me busy and have fun. But
yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, kind of planning ahead. Like and this is going to sound strange, I think I have enough models in my basement to keep me busy for a while. Like, I don't necessarily need to buy any more miniatures. I'm good.
Right. But you have more you have more unpainted, unopened miniatures than I think I've ever bought, and probably maybe one other gamer.
Could be. Could be. but you know, there are times you run out of a certain color, or there's times your brushes are starting to get ratty, you know, or whatever. So thinking about those things, going in, making a purchase, if you can't afford it, making a bigger purchase so that you're planning ahead and not having to make as many trips. And it also helps them now, as opposed to, like, if you think to yourself, well, I'll come back in another 3 weeks and pick up that other little thing or that pick up these other little things, they may not be there. You know what I mean? And it may not even be that they've gone out of business, but they may have just had to shut their doors for a while until whatever kind of local lockdown is you know, turned off again or whatever. And so there's a lot of different things like that. There's another thing you can do as well that's really helpful, you know, financially, again, if you can afford it, and that's to buy gift cards. If you can buy a gift card, you're basically giving them money now, and then, you know, the idea is that they've got that money, and then later on when things are better, you can come in and then you can get the product. Right. Now,
with holidays coming up, you can also ask for gift cards too.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Admittedly, the one issue that I would tell you to maybe just keep an eye on, though, and this is a tough one, but the one idea is that you have to also kind of think about the like, if they go out of business, they may not be able to support your gift card. You know what I mean? You buy a $50 gift card and they have to Chapter 11 or whatever, I don't know, go out of business, then they may not be able to. So, you know, you kind of need to keep a little bit of a close eye on like how things are doing and maybe, you know, whatever. And that's a tough one, but it can help. It's almost like buying war bonds a little bit. You know what I mean?
That's a good way to look at it.
There's actually, I read an article as I was doing a little bit of research for this episode, and there was a store, and I forget where it was based out of, but they were doing something that they were referring to as plague checks. And basically what it was you would buy a gift card from them, which was a plague check. And then later on, and I don't know what the date was, but later on when I think that they were in a situation where they were actually like in a shutdown. Like they weren't supposed to be open in their area, but you could still like order online or whatever, do a plague check. And let's say you gave them $100 for a, you know, plague check. When they get to be able to start selling things again, you would get back $120 worth of product. So you'd be actually like kind of getting like a discount on the product.
Oh, like a same. Yeah. So a true bond. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, and that was a smart move, I think, on their part. So, you know, it's interesting to see like how that'll work out. But, you know, maybe your store is doing something like that, your local store. But if it's not even, you know, something like gift cards can also be helpful to help give them an influx of cash for now. And then, you know, but even then, if you were just like, you know, I've been wanting to buy this particular board game and you have it in stock, I'm going to get it now because I have the money now. You have it now. You know, everybody wins. Or, you know, I need this, or I've been thinking about that. If you can at all afford it, you know, in your budget, pull the trigger now as opposed to later, because these guys are going to need the money currently as opposed to, you know, later on down the road. I mean, we're at this point, how long into this now? 7 months?
Started
in March.
For us, I think some people were January and February. Yep.
That's true. That's true. But here in the United States, it's basically been about 7 months. So there's a lot of stores that at this point have kind of figured out certain things to do. A lot of them are selling online themselves, and then they do like a curbside pickup and things like that. But if you are, you know, just because they're selling online doesn't mean that they're immediately at Amazon.com. You know what I mean? That just right. means that people who know who they are finding it easier to order from them and then pick it up. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's now all of a sudden they're millionaires. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how it works.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's like those, there was that old commercial for, I think it was for FedEx or UPS or something. And it was this group of people who were like part of an office. And then the guy sitting at the table and he like clicks enter. He's like, all right, our website's live. And then they got an order and they're like, yay. And then they got a second order and they're like, yay. And then it just started to like snowball. And
right.
They were getting hundreds. And I'm like, okay. And like, as a person who's worked in this industry for a long time, that never happens. That's just not the way that the internet works. Unless right. you had already done like months worth of marketing and had a countdown on your website, and it was something that was, you know, it's just turning on your website doesn't automatically make it so that sales come. So as
nice
a store,
it
yeah, oh, it totally would. No, don't get me wrong. But as a store, if your local store does have online ordering available, it can help you to be able to look and see what's available, order stuff, come pick it up curbside, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So besides, though,
just buying.
Yeah, financial, other ways you can kind of stay connected and kind of help to support your local game store and your local community. Like what other, like, you know, social media, right?
Right, right. A lot of times just showing them that, you know, just liking them, you know, even if you like them and then like hide their posts on, you know, a certain website company mm-hmm. that's owned by a certain person. That still helps them when other people are searching.
Yeah.
It helps with their
That's
search
true.
Results and stuff like that. So it doesn't mean that you have to flood your stuff now with all your local game stores information.
Sure.
But it might, at the same time, a lot of times they're not just posting stuff because they're just trying to spam you. They're showing you that they've got something new in stock that you might not have known was even coming out.
Mm-hmm. Or they've had to change their hours potentially due to, you know.
Right, change their hours or, yeah.
Pandemic
or,
and all that.
Maybe they have a sale going on.
Yeah.
Like, and there's, you know, every store has their own unique sales. One of our stores around here does Blue Moon sales. Every time there's a Blue Moon, they have a Blue Moon sale. So, you know.
That's cool.
There's unique stuff. You know, every store kind of has their thing. So, but you might learn some stuff about your local store you didn't realize about. That.
Right. When they started it's one up. Of those... It's one of those, like, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone sort of situations. Well, you know, if it's a situation like you were just like, oh, the store is just the store and I go there if I need to. Well, now if you're a little bit more invested in it because you want that store to stick around so that it is available, you might find out some things about it, about the way that they do. Again, like you're right, like discounts or sales. They may have a rewards program that you didn't know because you weren't going in there that frequently. I mean, there's a lot of things you can learn by following social media. And admittedly, some stores do social media all wrong, or some of them, they got a Twitter account and they never use it. I mean, you got that too, but
right.
taking a look and seeing like, how are they trying to interact and then trying to get into that kind of path can help, not just to help support them, but also for you to learn more about the store and maybe find out more about them, which can be useful too. Sometimes the stores have got like a Discord server or something like that, you know, for like, or what's the other one, like a Facebook group or whatever, to just like say, hey, I'll be at the store on this date to do this, you know, or I'm looking to play that. Now, they may not be able to play in the stores right now, but sometimes just that local kind of connection, you might be able to find, and it depends on the genre and the game, but you might be able to play a game of, you know, like a D&D online sort of a, you know, like a
right, or Tabletopia or something.
Tabletopia, yeah. Yep. You might be looking for people who are playing board games in your local area. You might be looking for people who are playing tabletop simulator of, don't know, Star Wars Legion or Star Wars X-Wing or, you know, Warhammer 40,000 or Age of Sigmar, all kinds of different stuff. You know,
right, because you can't play another game of Risk with your grandmother. You've got to find somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so that kind of stuff, like staying connected with them, doesn't really cost you anything, but it can still help you to you know, like figure out again, because and like Matt said, a lot of these stores are also going to be trying to do sales to help drive, you know, people into the store or at
right.
least drive people to curbside pickup or whatever.
And they're still there. And, you know, maybe before your stores weren't great at responding to email, or you never had to email them. Like, I know one of our stores, we would go in almost weekly, you know, because the place we were eating at was next door. So we would always go in the yeah. same day of the week.
Place we liked for lunch was across the street. So
right. So we would ask yeah. all the time, like, oh, when's this coming out? Or when's that? Well, we're not doing that. So now I'm yeah. like, oh, I'll start emailing. So I don't email them every week, but mm-hmm. I do email questions like, oh, hey, you heard, you know, is this game coming out still? Especially now, like I used to, you know, go, oh, I know this is coming out this month. Now I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I've been able to pre-order and get, information on request, or if they have something in stock. Mm-hmm. Just by emailing them or phoning them or like Facebook Messenger, you know, there's a couple, you know, everybody kind of has their own, kind of way to keep in contact, or multiple ways. So
yeah, every store kind of has their preferred sort of communication vector as far as it reaches to online. Like for phone, mm-hmm. it's generally the phone, you know, that's how that
right.
works. But you know, for you know, some stores are heavy into Facebook, some stores are heavy into Twitter, some stores are heavy into just straight, you know, email or whatever, and that's fine. But yeah, definitely something like that is, I think, a good idea for helping to keep engaged with your store. What about keeping engaged just with your gaming in general, which then by extension hopefully causes you to still be interested in buying tabletop games and stuff like that? So,
okay.
Like what I'm talking about is that, you know, if you stop tabletop gaming altogether, then there's not much of a okay. reason for you to go to the store, right? To the local store.
Sure. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, so what we've been talking about a little bit, and we've done some other episodes that are kind of touching on this about like how, you know, if you can't get together and play right now, well, what is it you should do, you know, instead?
Right.
So, okay, yep. you know, like, yeah. So like we've talked a little bit about like, you know, and again, this is kind of my interest area, but miniature wargaming, like, and we said this previously, I think on another episode, like now, and I've said it on my YouTube channel, now is the time to paint your armies because you're not really able to get together and play. So very frequently, right. one of the reasons you don't sit down to paint your army is because you're like, well, if I paint my army, then my army's out of commission for a while and I can't take it to the shop to play when it's like half painted or whatever, because I'll ruin the half painted paint job before it's done, you know, or whatever, all these different, you know, kind of excuses right. and things. Now you've got no excuse. Now you've got time because you're not playing generally. And, you know, and then if you're sitting and taking the time to paint and work on your armies, well, you're going to need some more paint. Probably you're going to need some brushes and then, you know, and maybe even some more models. And that's giving you another reason to go and be able to work with your local game store in those situations. Like, what about right. with board gaming? Board gaming is a different kind of animal, obviously.
Right. So, I mean, there's still board games coming out. There's sure. still stuff yep. to play. There's still expansions. You know, maybe one of the games that you've liked for a while and that the family's been kind of using to keep through the pandemic. Maybe there's a new expansion out for it or something that's mm-hmm. Very similar to it that you just found out is coming out or has been out. Pick that up, you know, mix it up. Yeah. You know, you don't have to play Sorry for the next 9 months still. There's other games out there.
Terrible.
But yeah, do that or like, you know, what I've started doing is starting to like paint and organize some of my games. Like some of mine, mm-hmm. I'm I just saw a fantastic paint on, I think it was on your paint showcase,
on Facebook
group. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For, Cthulhu Death May Die.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking at like I'm like, oh, those are such cool models. I want to paint them, but I don't have time. And mm-hmm. And also like I don't want to pull them out when they're half painted. Well, now I have time to paint them all, and you know, so
right. Yeah. So that eventually when you get to start playing again, they'll all be done.
Yeah, everybody will be like, oh, this is an amazing game. Did these all come pre-painted? You're like, no, I did them myself.
Nice.
So yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then with like role-playing games, I mean, obviously you're still quite invested with role-playing games. And the benefit is that role-playing games are probably one of the easiest of these things to do online.
Right.
It's mainly a lot of conversation. Yeah,
so my biggest role-playing purchase pre-pandemic was minis, like WizKid minis and mm-hmm. Reapers and stuff like that. I, you know, buy all kinds of characters coming out. haven't been buying those as much, but at the same time, one of the things that used to bug me was like, you know, reading ahead of my, you know, supplement and knowing, you know, a certain monster was coming and going to the store and going, they're out. They don't mm-hmm. have, you know, hey, that doesn't seem to be the case right now because I'm not alone in buying less. So now I'm getting to buy some of the ones that I wasn't able to buy before because they were always constantly out of them. So I have been able to do that, but I've been finding some other stuff to do. Like, I've been, getting, like I bought a dice tray, never really had a need for a dice tray. Well, now that I've talked about, not even just for role-playing, but doing some like the online board gaming where we're sharing the, your dice rolls and stuff, like everybody rolls their own dice.
Yeah.
Being able to take your camera, your iPhone camera or, Android, you know, and place it over a dice tower and roll your dice is a lot easier than trying to do it and rolling on a table where they go everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps the rolled dice into a relatively tight little corral so that the camera can be pointing at them and everybody can see them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been using my dice tray way more than I ever thought I would.
And that's the type of thing that you would get at stores very frequently.
Yeah. I've also been buying more supplements like cards and stuff for like spells and monsters mm-hmm. and stuff like that, that normally I would just, you know, flip through the book while, you know, we're playing at the table. Well, now we're online. Some, like I've talked about, you know, like battles go a lot faster. Everything's kind of at a quicker pace on some of that stuff. So some of the mm-hmm. times where I used to be able to like look up and write down notes and stuff like that, has gone away, or I just don't have the space with my computer now in the way. I've been picking up the cards and stuff so that I can just, you know, grab the stack of cards and look through them real quick, versus mm-hmm. having to like put 30 bookmarks in my book and flip back and
right.
forth.
Yeah, no, that is helpful.
And then, you know, and dice, because, you know, sure. I know that, like, I know D&D Beyond is now start, like beta testing, rolling dice, Roll20, you know, obviously has dice rolling, mm-hmm. But physical dice still, I don't know, there's still something there about rolling physical dice that seems nice, yeah. And every single dice will eventually betray you.
That's true.
So you've got to buy that next dice because that's mm-hmm. going to be the dice that eventually is not ever going to roll a one when you don't want it to.
Well, when dice betray you, you throw them in the river, right?
Yeah.
And then you need more dice. That's how I've been right. always doing it, right? That's
right. That's how that grows. Standard. Yeah, it rolls out to the sea and then that releases the Kraken. And
sure, yeah. That totally sounds right on board. With collectible card gaming, like it's... With collectible card gaming, it's kind of weird because, like, if you and, like, maybe some of your family play, that's cool, you know, or if you've got a small kind of safe, like, pod of friends that you can play socially distanced with, sort of, you know, like, you guys get together, but you're wearing masks at someone's house or whatever the deal is. Or if it's warm enough, you can play outside, like, without the cards blowing all over.
Right, right.
It's also an issue, you know. But then you can continue to, you know, play and add cards to your decks because new, you know, the Magic, you know, Wizards is still... producing, you know, Magic the Gathering. They're still coming out with new sets on I think it's quarterly. Is that how frequently they do it? Is it every 3 months?
That sounds right.
Sounds right, yeah. You know, so that's a thing. And or you could be going through and organizing, you know, there's those white cardboard boxes for like organizing your cards in, like of your bigger, larger collection. Now is the time to be able to sit down and kind of go through your collection if you also want to. It's kind of like sitting down to paint your miniatures. It's the same sort of deal. Right. But then also, you know, like there's some things you sort of don't want to do in the situation. Like drafting right now is not great because you're playing a draft game, there's a lot of handing the cards back and forth to each other,
right.
which becomes a potential virus vector and all that kind of stuff.
Right,
so that's maybe not great, mm-hmm, but otherwise mm-hmm. there's still plenty you can do in, you know, that type of gaming.
Right. Maybe now that you're not going and trying to, you know, get the ultimate deck because you're going to a convention to win, you know, mm-hmm. start, maybe, you know, kind of like when you play knife mode in video games, you know, like where you're like, okay, we're going to do like the opposite of, you know, trying to win, but, you know, or win with a really like off, you know, weird rule. Like,
oh, sure.
You know, like for Magic, you know, maybe nobody can have a strength greater than one on any creature, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, have fun, get some more cards you wouldn't normally play with or normally, you know, try out, you know, and
yeah,
you know,
no,
do
absolutely.
Something different.
There's a lot of things that you can do to help your local game store through this time, you know, because like we mentioned earlier, the local game store is kind of a hub for a lot of this stuff. There's a lot of times I mean, sure, yeah, you can buy things online, but there's times when it's like a Saturday late afternoon and you're like, I want to get painting, but I'm out of this color. And so you run down to the local game store and you're able to get it and go home and get to painting and have a good, you know, rest of your evening. Yeah. Or there's some sort, or you need more dice or whatever. And you, you know, you could order that stuff online, but it's going to take you at least a couple of days to get there. And right. with the game store, that's not the case. So,
well, and like 3 weeks ago, I was one of those yeah. guys. I hate being those guys, but they're normally open. I think our local ones normally open at 8, but for that, mm-hmm. whatever reason, they were closing at 7 that night. Sure. And I showed up at 6:59. Mm-hmm. So I was that guy that they were like already starting to close up because they hadn't had a customer in like the last 5-10 minutes. So they were, you know,
sure, running. Yeah, yeah.
And I like popped in and found out like, oh shoot, you're closing. And they're like, no, no, go ahead, you know, pick out what you needed. So I was still able to buy the paint, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff because they're a local shop, you know.
Yeah.
Target would have just been like, no, sorry, close the doors.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you're out of here. But you know, I was they were accommodating, and it saved my, you know, hobby for the night. So
last year, I pulled up to our local GameStop here in town, the video game place, to buy something. I don't even remember what, but I pulled up to this in a strip mall. I pulled up. There was nobody, you know, parked out in front. I pulled up. I got out of my car to see the kid who works there walk up to the front door and lock the door and click the close sign, looking me square in the face. Like, seriously, he was just like, right. no, man, it's 8 or whatever. And I was just like standing there just like, are you kidding me? And yeah, so... Your local game store probably won't do that.
Right. So, they won't tell you the ice cream machine's broken because they want to get out of it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, you know, definitely think about your local game store in this time. And if you can, you know, definitely, if you've got the money to do so, go and buy some stuff from them to help keep them afloat. Because this is going to go on for probably a little bit longer. I have a suspicion. I'm not a scientist nor a psychic, but I have a suspicion that this is going to go on for a bit longer. So if we want to keep the tabletop games stores, available, and we want to keep the industry strong, it's something that we should try to do if we can. So thanks again for listening to this episode of the Game4 podcast. If you've got any questions or comments and you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment below. If you're listening via your favorite podcast player or aren't just into the whole YouTube comment section thing, then you can feel free to reach out to us via email at podcast@imgame4.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our website at www.imgame4.com. That is www.imgame4.com. Thanks.